This morning, I would like for us to conclude our series on compassion that we began a number of weeks ago. And I want us to look at our head text for this series once again, Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. I want you to quote that with me again, reading it from the screen. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. I just love that passage. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion. I love this part, slow to anger. That doesn't mean that He doesn't get angry, it's that He's slow to it. He's not quick. He is slow. And so it is. He's patient. He's long-suffering, the Scriptures tell us, toward us. And He's great in mercy. He's good to all. And that is just a beautiful passage of Scripture. Now let's go to our Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36. Then Jesus went all about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel. Would you say that with me? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, read this with me, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And so here we are again as we consider this subject of compassion, this word that speaks to us concerning that those deep feelings towards someone else in the difficulty that they're going through, or maybe even something you feel towards somebody and concern, an overwhelming desire to see something happen in somebody's life. Sometimes, even when the other person don't even recognize it, but you note their need. But it's a recognition of a need in someone else. And God is full of compassion. He looks upon us. He sees our deepest heartfelt needs. Likewise, you and I are to emulate that. And we want this compassion that I believe God has put within everybody in the depths. There's people who will respond and do things. There's something within us. Somebody that, as you might remember, the first sermon in the series, where I said that there can be even a person, whether or not they know the Lord or not, there's something within them that wants to help others. And that God put that there. Even when the person don't even recognize, they could be an atheist. But the truth of the matter is God put that inside of them to want to help someone else. Now, that may be repressed. That might be pushed in the back burner. That might be shoved away in a corner or somewhere in the back of somebody's life, but nevertheless it's there. But as followers of God, as lovers of God, as people in relationship with Jesus Christ, you and I should be full of compassion like our Heavenly Father is. And I believe that is there, but then we have to act upon it. We actually have to render works that support what we are feeling inside. Again, it's not love until you give it away. It's not real love. It's not real compassion until you actually give it away. Until it becomes action, it's only a feeling. It's only words. But when it becomes action, and our God is a God of action, and He wants us to be the same way. And so Jesus Himself looked upon the multitudes with compassion, with compassion. And this morning, we want to look at a heart for the broken. We've talked about a heart for the hurting, a heart for the sick, a heart for the harassed last Sunday. But this morning, I want us to look at a heart for the broken. The broken. And it's very important that we hear this word today. This has been a very difficult week for families in this church. Particularly, I'm thinking today of those everybody that Jonathan has mentioned in our prayer time today, and the brokenness of loss and hurt, disappointment, those things. But the declaration, if I went down to Charleston to see Justin and Blakely Heidrich Friday, I drove down there just to see them a few minutes after the loss of their son, lost from this life, but entering the glories of heaven ever before he was birthed here. And I went there to encourage and minister to them in their brokenness. And yes, there's a sense of brokenness for sure. But I came back and they had comforted me. They had ministered to me. And so today, if they're watching by Facebook Live and this service or the next, what I want to say to us is that in our distress, in our own brokenness, God desires to comfort us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's there that the Apostle Paul talked about how that God is gracious, how He comforts us. And Paul said, He comforts us, and we're going to comfort you all of the Church of Corinth with the comfort by which we have been comforted. And that's what I sensed in their life. They were comforting those around them, their family, by the comfort that the Lord had given them. Aren't you thankful for the Comforter today? The Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit. And so we consider this scripture today, and I want you to just look this morning at Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Because we find that Jesus indeed comforts the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted. He has a heart for the brokenhearted. What a beautiful passage this is. This is Jesus quoting from the prophet Isaiah. And He's speaking concerning Himself. This was prophecy concerning Himself that Isaiah was prophesying. As it says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So now this is Jesus speaking what God had already said that He would say. And that would be the reality of who Christ is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To set at liberty the captive. And the recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those that are oppressed. Now that's the God whom we serve. That is Jesus and His ministry right there. And so He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to comfort those in mourning. He came to bring good news to the afflicted. That is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so may we receive His ministry this morning. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficult hours you may have faced or are facing, God is exceedingly able to help you in your time of need and distress. That's who He is. He is our very present help in time of trouble. Now, when a person is brokenhearted, it can have incredible effects upon them. I was reading something that said a broken heart syndrome. That would be some type of diagnosis, I guess, by psychologically or whatever, or even affecting a person medically. But a person that is brokenhearted, they may find themselves pulling away from those around them. A person may in a point of their greatest need, just feel as though everything has turned upon their world and is falling down around them, and it can cause great distress and despair in a person's life if brokenheartedness is not handled in the right way. If our disappointments, great, and I speak of great disappointments, when our great disappointments are not put in the right perspective, we can find ourselves in a very difficult and dire situation. We've seen it. A lot of us, perhaps all of us, could testify of someone we've seen that's gone through things, and they've allowed the brokenness that has come to their life to absolutely nearly destroy them. And so there's a mindset in brokenness, if we're not careful, that will give us a perspective that is absolutely untrue. A perspective that is fleshly, a perspective that brings defeat, a perspective that will turn itself in a way where we can't see God or anybody else loving us. It depends on the situation, what the person has gone through, certainly, of course. But brokenheartedness is not something that we're a stranger to in human flesh. Brokenness, whether it's through sorrow and in the loss of a loved one by death, or whether it's by an event in our life, maybe divorce, separation, those things that may have caused those things, like affairs and the such that have brought brokenness. They can cause a person to withdraw and get in a very dark spot. So we have to be careful how we respond. And what I want to say to us is that Jesus heals the brokenhearted. God is one who touches the brokenhearted. He has compassion on them. And what we have to make sure we do in the events of life, in the challenges of life, in those things that tear our heart to pieces and apart in this world, we've got to make sure that we turn totally toward God. Not partially. That we turn totally toward God. That we turn in a way where we can see Him properly. That we can get in the right mindset. And so we need to turn in totality toward Him. Now, that reminds me of Psalm 119 and verse 114. It says there that God is our hiding place. I want us to see God today as our protector. Would you say He's my protector today? And so when, and this is something, I've been quoting this here real lately a lot. I did in one of the sermons last weekend. It comes from a song that I sang in the 80s. Yeah, again, I keep mentioning that, 80s. But it was a song called Hunger for Holiness. But in it, it says, when the skin of my resistance is broken, Satan moves in swiftly to deepen the cut. And that's how the enemy works. When we get when something happens and the skin of our resistance is broken just a little bit, he wants to move in and bring infection. He wants to come in and deepen the cut, make it a worse problem, and just really to ultimately to destroy. That's what he's after. And so he does that. But so I've got to remember that God is my protector. You see, I've got to keep the right mindset. God is my protector. And so I love that. As the psalmist said in 119 verse 114, that he is my hiding place. He's my hiding place. I love this song. I rode down the road the other day listening to it again. A song out of the 80s. You're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. Come protect me from the storm that rages. When the waters rise, I will run to hide. Lord, in you I find my hiding place. That's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. You see, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the brokenness, that's just real. It's a part of this life. But it's how we handle it. It's how, when the storms rage and the waters rise, and when it looks like there's all around us is harm and defeat, we've got to set our mind in the right direction that those things are not true. That is not true. In fact, God is my hiding place. He's my protector. In fact, it didn't stop there. It said, He's my hiding place and my shield. It said there in that verse. He's my hiding place and shield. And then the psalmist speaks concerning the Word and how that the Word really is where we gain that from. That's where we get the realization of the hiding place, and we come into the realization of Him as the shield and protector of our life. It's because of the Word. And so if we want to find His protection, if we want to go to the hiding place, you've got to go to the Word of God. Amen. Psalm 46 and verse 1 says that He is my refuge and strength, my very present help in time of trouble. So the Lord, He wants us to recognize that He's available to us. He's available to us. It doesn't stop there. He wants you to know as well that you're not abandoned. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. God is speaking to Joshua following the death of Moses, their leader. And He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you, Joshua. And that's where we hear these words that are quoted often in Scripture. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will not abandon you in your trial. He will not abandon you in the midst of tribulation. He will not abandon you in the midst of persecution. He will not abandon you in the midst of sorrow. He will not abandon you in the midst of divorce. He will not abandon you in the midst of rebellion. He will not abandon you. You've got to get your eyes fixed upon Him. Set your mind on things above and not on this earth. I mentioned earlier 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4, he mentions the comfort, Paul does, of the Lord. He mentions the greatness of the Lord and the fact that He's a comforter, and how He's telling the church of Corinth that as God has comforted me, with that same comfort, we comfort you. Yeah, that's what Justin and Blakely were doing for me and the family. They were comforting me with the comfort by which they had been comforted. It's beautiful. You see, God has, His ministry is not through within your life because of the difficulty you're going through. Because of the what has brought your heart to a place of brokenness is not a place where He wants you to stay, but He's saying this comforting God, I who am your comforter, I will use you to comfort other people with the comfort that I've given you. That's beautiful. You know, we need to turn totally toward God. Because God knows us intimately. Psalm 139. He there says He knows our inward parts, around verse 13. He knows us inwardly. Verse 1 of that Psalm said, He fashioned and He formed us. He made us. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. That whole chapter, it just speaks of how that whatever happens, wherever we go, you can make your bed in hell. He said, Behold, I am there. You can ascend to the heights. He said, I'm there. He's letting us know that He knows our when we lay down and He knows when we rise up. He knows everything about us. He is intimately acquainted with us. The New Testament teaches us that He is acquainted with our grief as well. And prophetically spoken of concerning Jesus, and we find the realization of that in the person of Jesus Christ when He became flesh and was incarnated among us as He was acquainted with our grief and He bore our sorrows. And that's the kind of God we have. He's intimately aware of our hurt. Intimately. He knows you today. He knows when you've been done wrong. He understands when somebody you've loved has turned their back upon you. He understands your grieving. But He wants us to understand who He is. He wants us to fix our eyes upon Him, the author and finisher, but He is everything in between of our, in the between of our faith. He's everything we need, thanks be unto God. I love passage of Scripture where He declares this. Says that God, Psalm 34, God comes near to the brokenhearted. He comes near to the brokenhearted. He saves such as have a contrite spirit. But He comes near to the brokenhearted. He's near you. He's not far away. He's near you. He's closer. I love that. I love that saying that. He's closer than the mention of His name. He is so near. John on the Isle of Patmos in prison, he understood that as right there in that deserted island in the midst of persecution, he heard from behind him a voice that sounded like a trumpet. You see, Jesus was breathing down his neck while he thought he was alone out on that desert island. Out in that penal colony, that prison of an island, that place of just being left to die, really left to suffer in abounding ways. But Jesus was so near to him in the midst of it all. In the midst of it all, and so Jesus tells us. Luke 4:18, that He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. So we need to turn our attention, turn our focus totally upon Him. Now, and I think that we need to really take intentional steps forward in our healing. We need to take some specific steps to move forward out of our brokenness. And I want to just say this, and this is certainly, I'll close in just a moment. We need to release what has happened to us. Now, I just want to go ahead and tell you, we're at different places along the journey. In this room, all of us are at different places. But we have to come to a place when we've turned our attention totally upon the Lord and we've turned to Him that we're able to release some things out of our life. Because the great danger of brokenness is resentment, it's bitterness, it's continual anxiety. It can lead to great fearfulness. to move forward in the days to come. And so what we need to do is we've got to release the past. We've got to release the hurt. Simply let it, let go. Yeah, there's things in our memories and our mind and our feelings, those things we carry with us in life. Because I've been given a memory, I can bring some stuff up in my mind if something is cued just like this. I mean, stuff that I've forgiven a long time ago. However many of you have been there, stuff you've forgiven a long time ago, but you can bring it up in your mind because you got a mind, right? Things that people you've forgiven that's hurt you, and you've really let it go, but nevertheless, you can remember it. And the enemy likes to bring that stuff up, and he'll bring it sometimes. He'll try to whisper it back into us to get it stirred up again, so we have to be very careful. But we do have to release. So it's not forgetting in the classic sense of the word, but it's forgetting in the sense of like God forgets. God forgets our sin when we come to Him and we bring it and cast our sin and care upon Him and we receive forgiveness of sin. The Bible teaches us that He forgets that sin as far as holding it against us is what it means. When it says He casts it into the sea of forgetfulness not to remember it against us anymore, He's just simply saying that. That's not the purpose of it. God has all power. He's all knowing. But He doesn't remember it against us. And so we have to release things. And we can do that with the help of God. Listen, there's things that I thought I wouldn't be able to get out of my mind. But then I came to a place where it became a distant memory. He healed me of it. You see, when the Lord heals you of the brokenness, it's not in the foreground anymore. It's way back. And what we got to do is make sure we don't bring it back up. Because that's the thing about it is in our minds. That's why we have to keep our mind ever stayed upon the Lord. Ever stayed upon Him. So, I want to tell you today, release. But refocus. Refocus your mind upon Him and receive the abounding grace of God in your life. So, would you say this with me? Say, release. Now say, refocus. Receive. And then lastly, I want you to hear this. We need to reach out to others and use what the enemy has brought against us for the purposes of helping other people. That's how God wants us to do, use things. That the troubles of this world will be turned into ministry for the glory of God the Father. I don't know how you may be hurting today, but I know this. We have a loving God who heals the brokenhearted. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, all that sounds good, but I know I need Jesus to help me through this. And if you recognize that today, that very recognition that you understand that you need His help, I want to tell you, you'll find in Him a hiding place. A hiding place from the storm that rages. And you'll find not only a hiding place, but you'll find a launching pad into a future which God can use you for His glory. Would you stand with me? And if you're here this morning and you're experiencing a season of brokenness in your life, whatever it is, maybe it's something we dealt with today, or maybe it's something that is something far beyond what I could ever think or imagine. Would you just come? Would you come right now and just stand today for prayer this morning? Bring your brokenness to the Lord. God will restore. He will heal. He will redeem. Would you come as Sherry plays this morning? We invite you to come.